May it please the court, counsel for the government, Todd Schultz, assistant federal public defender representing the defendant appellant. District court in this case erred in applying a two-point enhancement under 2D1.1B1 and in concluding that the defendant was ineligible for the safety valve. 2D1.1B1 applies if a gun was possessed during the offense of conviction for any relevant conduct. It is the government that bears the burden, of course, of establishing by a preponderance of the evidence that this enhancement is applicable. In this case, beginning in late April and continuing through May, defendants sold crack and powder cocaine to a confidential informant on four occasions. Three of those occasions involved crack cocaine, one involved powder. Each sale was arranged by the confidential informant at the direction of the ATF. The last sale occurred on May 22nd. All sales took place in the same liquor store parking lot. The defendant did not possess a firearm during any of those sales. 49 days later, when the defendant was arrested at his residence, police recovered a gun from underneath a pillow in his bedroom. They also recovered a digital scale, which was later determined to have cocaine residue on it, on a coffee table in the front room of his home. He also made some incriminating remarks to the effect that he sold powder cocaine and marijuana, but not crack cocaine. Based upon the evidence recovered at the time of his arrest, the district court concluded that the defendant possessed the gun during relevant conduct, finding that it was not clearly improbable that the gun was connected to the defendant's drug activity in July, and accordingly applied the two-point enhancement. We concede that the evidence of the digital scale, when coupled with the statement made by the defendant, support an inference that he had sold or was selling cocaine and that he had weighed it on that scale. That, however, is not the same as agreeing that the gun enhancement is appropriate. The government must establish more than that the defendant sold drugs in May and in April, and that he was selling drugs in July for his July uncharged activity to be considered relevant conduct.
And the government says there was more because it was in the same city. You know, the scale had the cocaine on it. It just shows evidence of selling drugs.
Right, but I believe this court has made it clear that that single fact, which seems to be significant, is not sufficient for the court to conclude that the later uncharged conduct is relevant conduct. This case, I think, in a relatively recent opinion, United States versus Purim, had a situation where an individual had sold drugs in Quincy, Illinois, on two separate occasions, and found that the simple fact that he had sold drugs during the instant offense of conviction and later also sold drugs as part of the uncharged conduct that the government was arguing was relevant conduct was simply not sufficient.
Yeah, well, I kind of know that case, but there was 2 years apart.
Yeah, there was a two-year gap.
Right.
Here is 49 days.
Right, and that's one of the factors that the court considers under either a common scheme or plan or same course of conduct. But I think when you look at all the factors and you take them in order, so for example, if the court were first to consider the possibility that this later activity in July was part of a common scheme or plan, as the court knows, you look to see whether there might be common victims or common accomplices, a common purpose, or a similar modus operandi. The factor in looking towards common victims isn't helpful in a case like this. With respect to common accomplices, we don't know. The government can't point the court to any facts that would suggest that Mr. Joyce was dealing with the same supplier that he was dealing with back in April and May, nor can the government suggest that the modus operandi was similar in July. And so you are left, I believe, under the common scheme or plan analysis in 1B1.382 with the issue of common purpose. And if the court is simply saying, well, as I believe is a simplification of the government's position, but I think what the government is saying, he sold drugs in April and May, he was selling drugs in July, So, of course, it's relevant conduct. But I don't read this court's opinion as going that far. In fact, I think this court has cautioned district courts against engaging in that simple analysis. I think this court has said it's not that simple. There's got to be more than just he sold drugs 49 days earlier and there's this inference that he's continuing to sell or is selling at least in July.
Well, but there are things, for example, where you open up new territory, where, say, well, use Quincy as an example, which is important. If you try to establish a market there, the fact that you sold them 30 days or 60 days apart is important. If you sell them 2 years apart, that doesn't necessarily show an indication that you're trying to open up a new market. I mean, so the district judge has to know the territory and understand what's going on.
You are absolutely correct, Your Honor, but I also think what the district judge has to do is to look at the analysis, the factors that are set forth in the guideline with respect to common scheme or plan and with respect to the same course of conduct. And when you do that in this case, I think what you find out is, well, really the only thing we have to say that this is relevant conduct is he sold drugs in April and May. We don't know what happened in June. We don't know how often he was selling in July, but I guess it really doesn't matter because he had a scale with residue on it, and so we're just going to assume that the firearm then is the inference that the firearm is related to the scale. We don't dispute, but again, whether that's relevant conduct to the last sale occurring in May 22nd, we don't think under the analysis set forth in the guideline that the court should reach that conclusion. With respect to same course of conduct, the issue becomes...
And there's no evidence here, for example, that the CI was told, you know, hold off or anything like that in the interim period, or is there?
Now, that's a good question. The government makes the argument, I think, perhaps at the sentencing hearing and maybe in its brief, that the only reason there weren't more sales is because we didn't send the CI out. I believe that's argument, though. I don't believe that there's any specific testimony or report from any governmental agency which would suggest they discontinued their efforts.
But the CI was told not to.
That's the government's argument. That's the government's argument.
You're saying there's nothing in the record to support it.
That's my position, Your Honor. With respect to the similarity of the offense, again, we come back to both involved drugs. I think this court's opinions would suggest that that alone is not sufficient. I also think, though, that that's where the similarities end, because we, again, don't know who he is selling to, where he is selling, who is supplying his drugs in July. We don't have any of those details, which I think are essential to a determination that this would be a common course of conduct, unless what the court is inclined to do is just say what I believe the government's argument is: he sold drugs in July, he sold them in May, it's relevant conduct. I see I'm into my rebuttal time, so I'll reserve the remainder of my argument.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Schultz. Mr. Clark?
Good morning, Your Honors. The district court got it right. The cocaine that was on the digital scale is evidence of continued manufacturing as well as potential distribution, and consequently it is highly difficult to overcome the or to establish the standard here, which is whether or not it was clearly improbable that the gun was related to the drug distribution.
He's conceded that, you know, the scale and the gun related to drug distribution. So the big question for me is how we reconcile this case with the court's warning in U.S. versus Crockett that it's not enough that the conduct in question merely involved drugs, the alleged relevant conduct.
Well, Your Honor, the fact of the matter is that...
Because we don't know, for example, those earlier buys and everything, there's no discussion or conversation that he's the one that weighed the drugs or, I mean...
Well, this is true, but on the other hand, the digital scale was found in his home, Your Honor.
Yeah, I understand, but when you're trying to tie the conduct together, I'm just trying to say what else is there. There's essentially the only thing you have is that 49 days later, the scale with residue that was cocaine, not crack or marijuana, was found, right?
Well, yes, but of course, one could use the scale to help in the manufacture of crack cocaine, which I believe the judge pointed out to also. So I think that that is strong evidence that he continued to engage in the conduct. It is true that there was a 49-day difference, but there's no evidence that he discontinued his drug dealing activity.
And there's no evidence that you told the CI not to engage in anything else, too. So, I mean, in some cases, it's been very clear why the gap happened. Somebody gets arrested, or there's some interference in the supply chain or something, and you can point to something in terms of what, you know, stopped the train from moving.
Sure.
But not here, right?
I would agree with you, Your Honor. I would suggest that it is probably a matter of the agency not having the time to conduct further buys, as well as the fact that we've got some time there for indictment and so forth before arrest. So I just, the 49 days is a relatively short period of time. It's not a two-year period, as you discussed before. So I would suggest that the activity continued and that the gun was related to the criminal activity. Therefore, I'd ask that the court affirm the decision of the district court. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Clark. So, Mr. Schultz, do you have anything further?
If the court looks at the application note in 1B1.3A2 that defines common scheme or plan or same course of conduct and looks at the factors listed there, it is our position that the only significant fact that the government can put forward to support a finding that this conduct in July was relevant was that the defendant was selling drugs. If you ask whether there were common accomplices, whether the modus operandi was similar under a common scheme or plan analysis, the answer would have to be no. With respect to common purpose, I think the simple fact that he was selling drugs, that this court has stated, that alone is not going to be sufficient. And I think, again, if the court goes through a similar analysis under same course of conduct, all we're left with is 49 days later as a scale with residue on it, and that is not going to be sufficient to justify a conclusion that the conduct in July is relevant conduct. Therefore, the application of the gun enhancement was erroneous, and we're asking that this court would vacate the defendant's sentence and remand for resentencing without the gun enhancement and with the application of the safety valve. Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Mr. Schultz and Mr. Clark. And we thank, you know, the defenders for undertaking this representation of the client. And the court will stand in recess.